Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got the real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam.
Comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win it! They win it! Kemba Walker. Step back.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Press alongside Nick Merrick. I'm Josh Franz. We have special guest Louis Vertone on with us tonight, the head of Sun Devil Sports Night, the face of Sun Devil Sports Night. Pleased to have you with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Took long enough.
Well, I'm glad you're here. We have our NBA first half review show tonight. We're going to hand out our midseason awards, give you our bold statement prediction for the second half. But we're going to start with our surprises from the first half. Louis, what was the biggest surprise you had?
The biggest surprise for me, and there have actually been a lot so far this season, but I have to go with the Indiana Pacers and Paul George. I mean, Danny Granger has not played for this team for the majority of the season, and the way they've played, and not only they play, but on defense, my goodness. I mean, they are up there with some of the best in the last two decades. I mean, and when you look at specific stats, you look at them, they are first in defensive efficiency. They're first in points allowed. Their opponents are shooting 42% from the field. I mean, that is dominant considering you're missing your best player. And the biggest surprise leaping off of that has got to be Paul George. I mean, ever since Frank Vogel changed him from that shooting guard to the small forward where he's really progressing. I mean, he was named to his first All-Star game. That team has been, for me, lights out on defense. And when you look at their head-to-head against the top teams, the Knicks and the Heat, the 1-2 seeds, they're 3-1 against them. So they're playing great against the best teams in the East. So that's got to be my surprise, the Pacers and Paul George. And fourth seed in the East right now. I mean, you can't beat that.
Right. They knew they weren't going to make up for the offense that Danny Granger supplied, so they were going to have to do it on the defensive end. Frank Vogel's a very defensive-minded coach regardless and has them tied for first place now in the division, 29-19 with the Bulls. Nick, what's your surprise for the first half?
I'm actually going right next door to Indiana with the Chicago Bulls as my surprise. Is technically two teams are tied for third right now. I guess Indiana might have a tiebreaker between the two early on. But the reason I'm going with them is because there's been so much controversy about how the Bulls are going to be able to maintain playoff contention without Rose for a couple of months. Now Rose is well on his way back, should be probably back in March. But the real surprise is, you know, they come in, they have to look for that go-to guy. And so far, that's been Luol Deng. Yet another all-star vote for him, as he already has over 17 points a game, plenty of boards as well. So kind of picking up the void very well, but then on point as well. Surprisingly, despite not having Derrick Rose, they're very efficient, as they already have 10 assists per game average. Their points allowed is one of the best, or points for is one of the best in the league. They've always been known as a defensive-minded team. And then on top of that, there's questions on whether they're going to get they'll beat the Heat in the East. I mean, already without even having Derrick Rose back, there's people across the country saying, can the Chicago Bulls beat the Heat? I mean, yes, they're going to be they're obviously the team to beat, but that's, to me, phenomenal for them. The fact that they're already in the top three, so to speak, without their All-Star.
Remember, now they have what the Heat, quote-unquote, lack, a Joakim Noah inside, who is a beast, and nobody wants to go inside. I mean, you look at some of the teams that play the Bulls. I mean, they're giving up 44% from beyond the arc. So nobody wants to go inside and go up against that team. Noah grabs 7 defensive rebounds a game. He leads the league in blocks. They're third in defensive efficiency, like you said. So, I mean, you're right. That team is – and that's without Rose. Now you bring back a dynamic point guard, scoring point guard. I mean, you're right. But as we saw 2 years ago, I mean, they had all that and couldn't beat the Heat. So
yeah, he'll change the dynamic too. I mean, it'll be a different team with Derrick Rose. It always is because it's run more through him as the star rather than using Kirk Heinrich as a role more to feed guys like Joakim Noah and get him the points or even Luol Deng as a swing man. But, I mean, the team has been proven to work well in the past. They almost did it last year. They were just a couple of pieces short, and that's what the Bulls executive office is currently working on. That's where they brought in a guy like Rip Hamilton, figuring, maybe this is the answer. I don't think it – clearly that wasn't the answer. I think just being healthy – I think Heinrich is more the answer than that.
Yeah.
That was the biggest sign they had.
Heinrich's a big reason why they've been so great defensively this year. He sticks on any point guard in the league just as well as anybody.
He's probably one of the best perimeter –
right.
Best perimeter defenders in the league.
And then you talked about Noah in the middle, and they've built this team, the defensive side of the basketball.
They have two all-stars, and I can't remember the last time Rose played anyway. So it's almost like the Chicago Bulls don't even have Rose on their roster, and they've always done well, so it can only help getting him back.
Well, they built the team so that they can be successful without him, which is nice, but then when he comes back, their game changes completely, and we don't know how they're going to look. So you guys both went positive on your surprises. I'm going negative on mine. I'm staying local here and picking the Phoenix Suns.
Oh, killing the hometown team.
Well, the reason is I had higher expectations for them. They haven't lived up to them.
Well, I don't blame you.
They're 16-32 right now. I expected them to be at least somewhat competitive in the chase for maybe the eighth seed in the West. And right now they're the last seeded team in the Pacific Division of the Western Conference. They're just not doing it offensively, defensively. They can't score.
And their first round pick, Kendall Marshall, has played like a total of 40 points all year. That's not good. And Michael Beasley, your prize guy that comes in. He scored 18 points last week, which is a season high.
Yeah, against the Lakers, because the Lakers give up points to everybody.
Exactly.
They threw Marshall down in the D League. He's not even with the team anymore. So much of that first round pick.
It looked like he was ready to play in college, though. You see him coming up.
Man, he looked great.
He was a Tar Heel.
I know. If you give him some scores, that's his problem, though. He can't create for himself, and Phoenix doesn't have the go-to guy, even if Scola was the man.
Dragic is fine.
He's supposed to be the playmaker there.
Yeah. He's been playing fine. I mean, he has no playmakers around him.
Right.
That's the problem.
He's the only one that can create there. Right. Gortat can't create for himself. He's good off pick and rolls like we saw from Steve Nash, but Steve Nash is not there.
Absolutely.
Dragic isn't the facilitator Nash.
Get Dragic some players, and he can be a formidable point guard in this league.
I don't know if I was as surprised to see them how bad they were. You know, what happened to Marcin Gortat? Is he really that bad after losing Steve Nash?
He was that reliant on Steve Nash.
Man, that's
he had almost 70% of his field goals come off of Steve Nash assists.
I know. That's the guy who kind of died off. And, you know, honestly, afterwards, they just need fans now in Phoenix. It's the fact that after Nash went, they went through a ruckus in the Valley just wondering, oh my gosh, what are we going to do to even bring in fans? How are we going to make moves? So, quick, let's get Scola if we can. Oh, Michael Beasley's available. That's a big name. They're just trying to bring in big names. You may not help the team.
But isn't that what they've been doing from day one? And then poor Alvin Gentry, they get the axe on him like he did. Nobody can win with this team. Are you kidding me? And Gentry was a class act all the way through. He didn't make one peep. It reminds me of Larry Fitzgerald, another guy in the Valley who just keeps his mouth shut while everything just falls apart around them. No one can win with this team. That's exactly what they're doing. They're just throwing. But the Suns have been that team where, you know what, let's just get in the playoffs. If we get in the playoffs, it's a successful year. We'll make our money in the postseason and we're good. What they need to do is they need to tear this whole thing down, let the fans know, listen, it's going to take us some time to get back to where we need to be. Hang with us. Instead, you're putting on all these little Band-Aids that are just not going to work, and you're going to be exactly where you are.
Right. If there is a bright side for the Suns team, they have a chance for 3 first-round draft picks next year to turn it around. They have their own. They have the Lakers draft pick. Could be a lottery pick right now.
Draft class also.
Yeah,
that doesn't help.
And then they have the T-Wolves draft pick if the T-Wolves end up doing anything.
But, well, it'll be a lot of young guys. I think a lot of freshmen from college have been coming out of this draft. But on top of that, just another really weird thing is, you know, like what's happened with the makeup of the Suns? Like just in general. I mean, like besides, was it? Steve Nash was always the team player, but. I mean, you're going to go.
Yeah, they don't have an identity right now.
No, they don't know who they are.
They don't.
Anyway, they're wearing black jerseys now, too. They don't even know what colors they are anymore.
Well, we know who we are here on Full Court Press. Louis, who's your rookie of the year right now?
Oh, am I going first again?
You got to go first every time.
I'm in the hot seat over here. I think this is no question. We talked about this off air. It's got to be Damian Lillard, point guard for the Portland Trail Blazers. It's funny. When I watch this guy, and this is usually when they're on, and, you know, we have our little secrets.
You don't
secrets.
Go to Portland and watch the local
games. Our little secrets on the internet when I want to catch them. But I know, Josh, you watch a lot of basketball. When you watch this guy play, I mean, he looks like a veteran. He looks like a veteran point guard out there that's been playing for 5 or 6 years. And you watch him, and he's a rookie. Not only that, but we talked a lot about the pick and roll. The pick and roll that he has with LaMarcus Aldridge is just beautiful. Creates points for him all the time. If you want to talk about leading rookies, he leads rookies in pretty much every single category that matters. 18 points a game, 6 assists a game. He leads in minutes. He's second in steals. Pretty cool stats, too. 7 assists in 23 games. All of the other rookies combined for 21. He's had 3 games at 20 points and 10 assists. No other rookie has done that at all. I mean, it's a no-brainer. The guy has played amazing coming out of Weber State, a guy that you know, it was kind of wishy-washy. No one was sure exactly what he was going to do. Was he going to be really well? Was he going to be a bust, especially with that team? And they have no other point guard, no other guard to come in for him. And the way he's played, he's handled it beautifully. And it's one reason why they're – well, they were the 8th seed. Now I think they're like half game out now. But they're in the mix. And that's another team we shouldn't be.
Hold on. That's actually why they brought him in over to Portland State, because they said, well, you know what? For such a kind of a – big risk, low reward. High risk, low reward.
Right.
I think I still said that wrong. A high reward, low risk. There it is. High reward. I kept saying it wrong. Exactly what you said. It was either going to be great or it was going to be a bust. But there really was no in between, because they knew if his college play translated to the NBA,
which you never know when you play for a team like Weber State. Just never know.
Right, which is why that's how those random superstars come out, and that's why all these big conferences don't get as much love as much, it seems, in the NBA draft, because they're kind of more modeled towards that NCAA game, that more team game, that more let me win the national championship with a group of guys I have. NBA is more like, heck, I need a scorer. I need somebody who can slide. Like, whatever the team's need is, that's what they're going
to
go for.
But did you expect him to be this? There.
No, I don't think he
was. The guy creates points for himself. He gets Aldridge involved. He has hit game-winning shots already this year.
No, as you said.
Understand that. Look at that roster. The next point guard they have is Nolan Smith. He started one game this year.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about the risk. Think about how big the risk is when there's no other point guard, and it's the most important position on the court.
You know who the Trailblazers forgot now and they don't care about anymore? Greg Oden.
Oh, well, yeah.
Well, he might be a Heat, and I know you're a big fan of that.
I'm excited about that.
But, yeah.
We more guy in there. But just to point out, just so Josh, I can get one more stat out there.
Go for
it. His first game of the season against the Lakers, 23 points, 11 assists, never looked back.
I think that's the weakest game for anybody against the Lakers this year.
Everyone just breaks out against the Lakers.
But yeah, Damian Lillard, you mentioned he's come in. He's looked like a veteran. He knows how to get others involved. He's scoring for himself. He was given the keys to the car out of necessity, and he's taken off with him. And there's really nobody that can stop him right now. We talked about his 18 points a game, his 6.5 assists. So he's doing everything he needs to do.
And he's not flawless. You know, he's still young. He has turnovers.
Right.
He can go cold. He's a little iffy on the defensive side of the ball, but so is that entire team.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, for what they got, the guy's been playing unbelievable.
And right now, if the draft were to start, they'd get another lottery pick.
They would. But wait, before we move on, because I know we have other topics, what is Lawrence Frank doing with Andre Drummond in Detroit?
Well, Andre Drummond might be everybody's rookie of the year if he was playing 35 minutes a game.
He is playing under 20 minutes a game. That is ridiculous. How are you having a center, a guy in the middle who's been dominating? I mean, when he actually plays, I mean, he's averaging 20 minutes a game. He has 7 points and 7 rebounds a game in 20 minutes.
Right.
He comes in and out of that lineup. He has no sort of rhythm.
No rhythm, no consistency, and he's still putting up numbers in this team. And
remember, he posted a game this year, 18 points, 18 rebounds. Right. When a guy does that, he plays 35 minutes a game.
And I don't understand what else they need to do in Detroit. They're not fighting for a playoff spot. There's no reason not to play your young guys, get them experience, especially when they're playing phenomenal like this.
It is inexplicable that he is not playing more than 25, 30 minutes a game.
Hey, well, one more.
And if he does, he's rookie of the year.
Definitely.
Well, before we throw it over, I think it's pretty set in stone. Damian Lillard's our unanimous one, but Harrison Barnes deserves some credit too, along with Anthony Davis, just because of the fact of where Golden State is. I'm sure we're going to talk about this in the next segment, so I'll keep it brief. But here's a guy who's coming too from North Carolina, not winning national championships. Fans were riding him, saying this guy is too ready for the NBA. And yeah, he was too ready for the NBA. Now, after seeing him for half a season in the NBA, that was the problem. I don't know what else to say, being a UNC fan either. The guy shoots now 36% from 3 points, something he never did in Chapel Hill. Very unselfish player, plays on both ends of the court, plays very well, grabs boards when he can, already a couple of double-doubles. Now, in the past month, he's already put up quite a few 20-plus point performances. So this is a guy that could be in the picture. Will he? No,
absolutely.
But he's a good reason why Golden State's doing so well as a starter.
And you're right, and I'm not sure. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I'm pretty sure he has started every single game this year for the Warriors, which is another important thing here as a rookie. Coming in, buying into Mark Jackson's scheme, playing on both sides of the ball, and you being a Tar Heel fan and a guy from Carolina, what player in recent memory that's gone through Chapel Hill that's had such a love-hate relationship with fans and fans had with him, where it's like one day he's the next Michael Jordan, and then the next day he goes cold. He was a guy that his stock draft, he was supposed to be the first pick in the draft.
Yeah.
And, you know, he kept falling and he kept falling.
Just 'cause he kept falling.
But you know what? He felt to the right team. He started every game for them. And, you know, he has played great. He's really made that team formidable in the West.
Right. They played well with him. And then, obviously, David Lee and the guards that they have there. But my issue with him, along with many analysts' issue with him coming in the league, was he can't beat guys one-on-one off the dribble, and he can't hit a three. Well, he's proven he can hit a three, and now guys are coming up right on him, and he's starting to beat him off the dribble. So he figured out one of the two, and the other one's coming together. And
that's all it takes.
He's made a little career
for himself. And I'll chalk that up to Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson has definitely had to have a lot to do with that.
Well, yeah, he obviously knows guard skills. He's one of the best 5-10 point guards of all time.
Can I just throw this out here? You know you're feeling old when you start looking at the rookie of the years and go,
no.
Oh, man, I'm like a year and a half older than all these guys that we're voting for.
I know.
That's weird. Jeez. Yeah, I'm the age right now where if I were one and done, I'd be a rookie in the NBA.
Would you?
So Austin Rivers and I are looking in the same situation right now.
Would you beat Barnes?
I wouldn't compare myself to Austin Rivers right now.
No, May 5th, 93, Nick.
Ooh.
So I'm really young.
So you got it off
My
there.
Goodness. All right, well, listen.
Tell me your coach of the year, Louis.
Oh, we're going coach of the year now?
Coach of the year now.
Well, actually, we can springboard right off of the Golden State Warriors because
exactly.
My coach of the year is Mark Jackson. Now, I know there's a lot of other guys out there that could be, but Mark Jackson, what he has done with the Golden State Warriors, again, another team who is kind of trendy as being a good team, is coming in and playing well. What he has done, not just on offense, because on offense, you knew they were going to play good on offense. You have David Lee. You have Steph Curry, who is just lights out. We talked about Harrison Barnes and how he plays. Klay Thompson is another player. You know, who can grab boards and really get there in the paint. But it's what they're doing on defense that has really changed the culture in Golden State, and that is 100% because of Mark Jackson. When you think about the Golden State Warriors, you never thought defense, ever. You thought a team was going to shoot up, throw up 100 points, and then lose 110-100, or, you know, score 120 points and lose by 5. But this is a team that has really changed it around on defense. And kudos to Mark Jackson, because remember, the defensive front that they were looking to have this year was supposed to start with Andrew Bogut in the middle. Bogut missed the entire season. He's played like 7 games. So they played well with him. Now that he's back, now they're really great on defense. They're 12th in the league in points allowed per possession. I mean, they're 5th in the West. They have 30 wins. And you're going up against the Clippers. You're going against the Thunder. You're going against all these tough teams. Not only that, they've beaten the Thunder and the Clippers this year. So they show that they can play against the top teams. And you know what? If they're in the East, they're the second best team after the Heat, I believe. So Mark Jackson's my guy.
Well, I'll go actually back to where you picked earlier as one of your surprises. I'm actually going to go to Indiana. I think Frank Vogel has a very good resume there as well. Just looking, I had to look this stat up too. Out of the past Indianapolis coach since 1967, his 596 win percentage is the best ever since Larry Bird did it between 97 and 2000. So the fact that he's finally doing well in Indiana and they actually have a basketball town now is fantastic. I mean, everything was kind of coupled with what you said already, the performance of George. And all that's without Granger. That's part of the reason why I want to give it to Vogel, the fact that his superstar and Danny Granger isn't even on the court yet, and he's still third in the East, and he's still performing well. He still has one of the best win percentages. This is a guy who was, you know, he went to Kentucky. He knows the basketball, obviously, down there, and then it translated very nicely into a coach. And, you know, things are just rolling well over in the Pacers. I think he deserves a nod. Will he win it? I mean, I think he'll have to dominate the second half, but he's definitely a candidate right now.
Listen, they're putting on a defensive performance this year that has been some of the best. Talking like early 2000s Pistons. I mean, some of the numbers they're putting up are phenomenal.
I mean, they lead the NBA in rebounds with 46, basically, and points allowed. So
you're not giving up second-chance points.
Exactly.
You only play defense one time per possession, and they're great defense
offense,
for 24 seconds.
The other side.
Well, they've given Paul George the keys, and he's taken over now with Granger hurt, and he's leading them to success right now. Vogel trusts him in the offense, but I think it does start with the change of culture that we've seen on the defensive end with everybody on their team just buying in, just like with Mark Jackson in Golden State.
Yeah, and with that team, you know what they've really done too? They've really built built their team around the inside. You know, with guys like Hibbert, who really has come into his own this year, another guy who people are down on all the time, has played really good this year, leads the team with 8 rebounds a game. Then you have David West, another guy who's always a bruiser inside. So they're a team where people go to Indiana, they know that they're going to get hurt. The Heat saw that last year in the second round against them. You know, they're not going to be
a
pushover. Exactly. It was a battle. And this team gets better, and they get better, and their defense continues to be the defense that they have. They need to be more consistent on the offensive end of the spectrum. When you look at their bench, that's one thing. They're weak on their bench. I think they're 25th. And they average like 25 points a game on their bench, which is like 26th in the league.
Yeah,
so
bad.
When Granger comes back, he's going to be able to add that element. Will he jump right back into the starting lineup? Probably not. He'll probably come off the bench, and that's going to be something they'll need. And, you know, kind of take the load off of Paul George, because he's really just kind of jumped in to this go-to guy role. I mean, he's flourished, but having Granger come back, I think it's really going to help them out.
You guys both picked very defensive coaches who are leading their teams defensively to success. I'm going to take interim Brooklyn Nets coach PJ Carlissimo as my coach of the year. They were 7 games under 500 when he came on, and now they're 28-19, good for the 5 seed in the Eastern Conference right now. And it's really been an offensive takeover. Deron Williams has been able to play his game with this guy like he wasn't able to do with Avery Johnson.
I agree. Actually, before we get to that, when I think Nets, I think Jay-Z. Then when I think of Jay-Z, I think Beyonce. How hot was Beyonce at the Super Bowl? Oh, my goodness.
She didn't sing, but she put on a show.
Incredible. Incredible.
At least she didn't lip sync that one.
Yeah, well, I think she's the reason the power went out. Because, my goodness. But, yeah, that's when I think Nets. I just think Jay-Z.
I have my conspiracy on that. That's a whole different topic. I think the reason was for ad money. Doing some research on some... Yeah, my nerd self did some digging and found out that the commercials cost $3.5 million for a 30-second slot, and they said if they'd offer $5 to $6 million, they'll quote find a way to fit you in. Then the lights went out, and you're like, okay,
huh?
Interesting conspiracy.
Smart, very smart.
It's a Nick Merrick conspiracy for
so
you.
So it helped the NFL out, and then they put a competitive game together after that, and everybody made more money.
Exactly.
So
yeah, that's true.
Maybe there is something to that, but back to Brooklyn. They've with Brooke Lopez and Deron Williams running the show there. They've been able to put up consistent numbers. As I said, go for the five seed in the Eastern Conference, and they're going to be a tough team that the Heat are going to have to go through in the playoffs.
Oh, stop! They're not.
They're not beating the Heat.
About them?
No. Well, okay, fine. The Heat are the best team in the world, Lou. Are they worried about anybody? Is anybody on your radar in the Eastern Conference?
No, not in the Eastern Conference, but I'd be worried about the Thunder.
So the first series you're worried about is the NBA Finals.
Yes.
So you can just sleep till March or May.
That's what they did last year.
You know, I'm surprised nobody said anything about...
Boston took them to 7, but...
Speaking of Boston, I'm surprised nobody said anything about them being maybe like one of their shockers. And if you went with the Phoenix Suns, I'm surprised you didn't branch out to Boston.
They're old.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what they do in the second half.
If you want to go their route as far as like teams like that, the Spurs, how they just continue to be effective.
But it doesn't surprise you. You should expect Pop and Ginobili and Duncan.
22-2 at home. Holy cow.
And we were saying this before. They should rename the Coach of the Year Award to the Greg Popovich Coach of the Year Award.
Because he'll never win it.
The man deserves it every year.
Jerry Sloan never won one. They don't give it to the best coach. They give it to the most surprising team led by a good coach.
Can we do a mock experiment and switch him, put San Antonio and have him flip-flop with New Orleans Hornets right now and see if he could bring the Hornets up from the grave? Or the Charlotte Bobcats, even better.
Yeah,
send him over to Charlotte.
You know what the Bobcats are? They're like that like all-star college basketball team, because every guy that I think of on that team, I just think college still. Like they're all still in college, Gilchrist and Kemba Walker. When I think of these guys, I don't think one NBA game.
Well, they haven't had a highlight yet.
Because I don't think I've watched an NBA game with these guys. So the last game that I watched of all of these guys...
Wait.
Have it got to be in college jerseys.
Let's play a game.
So I just think it's like a college all-star game.
Probably the national championship game for both of them.
Wait, let's play a game with Louie. Let's see how many of the guys I name you see the college that they go to.
Okay.
All right, Kemba Walker.
Connecticut.
Ramon Sessions.
Louisville.
Yep. Ben Gordon.
Ben Gordon is UConn.
Yep.
He was relevant, though, with the Bulls, but go ahead.
Yeah, Gerald, sixth man of the year.
That's true. Gerald Henderson.
Duke.
Byron Mullins.
Ohio State.
Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Kentucky.
All right, one more. Hakeem Warwick.
Oh, Syracuse, maybe.
Yep. So we pretty much that's their top
it's like
seven
an
scores.
Team.
So they're saying we're going to take the best players from the best schools in the country and
who
just hope that
more.
They can
Give
come
one
play
more.
Together.
Tyrus Thomas.
Oh.
LSU.
Yep.
Woo!
How about Jeff Adrian? I don't even know this one.
Jeff Adrian, Georgetown.
Actually, Connecticut.
Oh,
is it?
Yeah,
close.
Should have asked for more. You were good where you were.
That's all right.
That's impressive, though.
No, but see what I'm saying?
Wait, Sessions went to Nevada.
Ramon Sessions, did he?
Yeah.
I still think we went with a Laker.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, well, whatever. We went, what, five for eight there? 5 for 8? 5 for 9?
I think you only missed two.
You only missed two. I missed two.
I mean, 5 for...
Not bad.
We'll say 6 for 8.
Yeah, 6 for 8.
75%, Louis.
Pretty solid.
We'll take it from the field, not from the free throw
line. And Akeem Warwick is on the Bobcats now?
Yeah.
Is he really falling?
Why would anybody sign?
Remember Warwick's block of Nick Collison?
Oh, man.
To win the national championship with Carmelo and McNamara?
We know you'll never forget.
Man, that was a good year.
Put him back.
All right, let's move on, though.
That was when Carmelo had dreads.
Right, when he was 15.
His cornrows. Yeah.
He was 15. Good one.
Let's move on to the award that everybody cares about. Who is your first half MVP, Louis?
Oh, boy. Are we starting with me?
Do you want to start with Nick? We can start with Nick if
you want.
Why don't
we start with Nick?
All right.
So I can chew his head off if he doesn't say who he should say.
Says the Heat fan. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. I'm actually going to, screw you then. I'm going to go over to Oklahoma City. I'm saying Kevin Durant. I just feel that everything he's done over there is good enough to solidify him. Yeah, it's going to be the same. It's pretty much going to be the same race as always. Durant versus LeBron with a couple of extras. That's how this MVP thing should be renamed for the next 2 years. Or probably the next three. 10
Seven.
Yeah, I don't even know. For exactly. The next decade. Just make it the next decade for crying out. I mean, obviously, yeah, Derrick Rose had his time in there. But the fact that he has just basically 30 points a game, he's doing it. He's still getting his assist numbers despite losing Harden. He's around 4. 8 rebounds a game. It's pretty similar to what LeBron's doing, minus some of the more positional stats. But points per game is better. And the fact that he's doing it without the sixth man, the team's different. Yeah, the core is back, but the fact that they kind of made that statement after last season's playoff run that, you know what, guys, this team may not be the same anymore in 2 years. We're going to try to keep the two or three stars, and the rest are dispensable, and we'll have to build around it. So, you know, he only has about one more year maybe with his full squad until things start getting diced up. But I think he stands out up front for a very good chance, still very good free throw shooter as well. That's not something you typically get from a 6'9" forward. And he can shoot from behind the arc, so pretty much he could attack at all assets. That's why he's MVP.
Right. One of the things that surprises me about Durant over LeBron, before I let you go into everything about him, Louis, is that Durant is actually averaging more blocks per game than LeBron, more steals per game than LeBron, and obviously more points, same amount of defensive rebounds. We know LeBron is the more athletic guy. He's stronger. He's more physical. He can dominate at an easier will, but Durant's got some of these numbers over him. And that could lead for him to be MVP.
So are you saying also that you're picking Durant?
No.
Oh, so did you kind of just jump in there to help that?
I'm going
to
help out Nick a little bit because LeBron makes the case for himself. We'll let you make it for him, and then I'll tell you who my pick is.
Okay, so do I go?
Do you want me to go or do you want to go?
I'll go.
Okay, go ahead.
LeBron James is the best basketball player on this planet. And seriously, there's no debate. Now, when you think Kevin Durant, and I take nothing away from Kevin Durant, I love Kevin Durant's game. But he is who he is, and he's the best pure scorer on the planet. Now, listen, there's some things about him that are mind-boggling. Right now, he's actually going for that 50-40-90 rare case where
Steve Nash
he's going for
award.
50% from the field, 40% from three-point line, and 90% from three throws. He could be actually the only player ever to lead the league in scoring and have those percentages. And he's vying for his fourth straight scoring title. So, yes, Kevin Durant is the best pure scorer. Okay, and you're right, he gets his blocks, he gets his steals. He also has his team with, 38 wins? So they're at the top. But let me tell you something. LeBron James dominates a basketball game from anywhere on the court. Anywhere on the court. If he has the ball or doesn't have the ball, he is dominating a basketball game. First of all, let's go through his stuff. Youngest at 20,000 points. He moved over to the four spot, and he's been dominating there. Field goal percentage, 56%. He's averaging 27 points a game at 56% from the field, 40% from three-pointers. And what did everybody say? His weakest part of his game is jump shot, his three-point. He's gotten up to 40%.
Well, one thing quick about that, it definitely is the weakest part of his game, but he's taking them in a smarter scenario. He's not shooting too many, and that's why he's making more. He's just being smarter.
Credit.
He's maturing into a basketball player.
Which is to his credit.
Right.
Not only that, For the amount of times he has the ball, and he's pretty much a de facto point guard on that team, he brings the ball up all the time. He has fewer than 3 turnovers a game.
Yeah, the ball's always in his hand.
It's unbelievable. It's, hey, do you want me to kill you with a three-pointer or just take it to the hole and score and pass it? And you know what? There's another thing. He averages 8 rebounds a game and 7 assists. He is a 6'9" four. A small forward. And he averages 7 assists. He gets his team involved. He makes the guys around him better.
Right. You and I were talking to him about this yesterday. He is
He also has the league's best player efficiency rating. So I know for people like Brett Cowett and all you guys, you love the numbers. So
well, he's a baseball guy. Numbers work for baseball. But we were talking yesterday how I think LeBron James is Magic Johnson on the offensive end with the abilities of Ron Artest on the defensive end when Ron Artest was in his prime.
Oh, that's right. And by the way, I never got to the defensive side of the ball. LeBron James could be the MVP and the defensive player of the year every single year if he wanted. I think the discussion's over there, isn't it?
Well, I'm still going to throw my guy's name in the hat.
Oh, okay.
And
But with that said, before you go on, Kevin Durant will win MVP because I think they're tired of giving it to LeBron James. And I think Durant, if he's ever going to get it, it'll be this year, so they'll give it to him.
Well, wait, speaking
and
of being
LeBron
tired.
And then LeBron will come back and get it next year.
I have a stat for that. If LeBron James does win it this year, he will be only the second player in NBA history to win it 4 and 5 years. Can you name the last one?
Jordan.
Nope.
Bill Russell.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Look at that pull.
Nice.
Jordan was close. So was Magic Johnson, Larry Bird. They all kind of won 3 and 3, or at least 3 and 4.
LeBron, 4 and 5 years. And
4 and 5.
You know what, though? With all that said, I think we most will agree LeBron should be MVP, but yes.
He's just
This is the year to give it to someone else, Durant.
Yeah.
But. Or how about CP3 out in Los Angeles? I'm not a Clipper fan, but Chris Paul is my favorite player, so I'm going to throw his name in the hat for him. He's averaging 16.5 points to go along with his 10 assists a game, 2.5 steals among the tops in the league. The Clippers are 2-6 in their last 8, all without Chris Paul.
I was saying, aren't they averaging no wins a season without him playing?
Yeah, they would go
pretty much.
They go like someone 5-77 without him.
Absolutely.
Okay, he is the reason that they're sitting among the top right now, third place in the Western Conference. They were second before he went down, so he's right up
more
there.
More importantly, they're not the laughing stock of sports anymore.
Right.
Which is
he came in, he changed the culture. He can play defense on any point guard. Unlike Steve Nash, who we saw in his prime, still couldn't even play defense. So Chris Paul can do it on both ends of the floor. And when I think of value, I think of guys who lead their team to victory and they would lose without. Obviously, the Thunder would be okay without. I mean, they wouldn't be okay without Durant. Russell Westbrook would step in, but obviously they wouldn't be the same team. The Heat would be okay without LeBron because they've got Bosch and Wade as two of the best players in the world. But without Chris Paul, we see that the Clippers really can't do anything.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Well, we got 3 good picks there. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we just wanted to throw 3 different ones out there just to get some different taste of flavor of what's going to come in the MVP at the end. I don't know if it'll be. I don't know if Chris. See, like I mentioned, Chris Paul's going to be one of those guys. He'll be around the 3 or 4 spot come the end. And the top 2 are going to be one of Durant or LeBron. Two celebrities, 2 with the most revenue, 2 with the most jerseys sold pretty much.
And Tony Parker will be among the top of this. Of the probably a top 5 in this year's also. He's averaging 20 points, 8 assists a game for this Spurs team who, as we've talked about, never seems to age. He's in his low 30s, still putting up great numbers, and they're in first place in the Western Conference right now. So there's a top 5 finish in the MVP voting for Tony Parker. But let's move on now and talk about our boldest predictions for the second half of the basketball season. I'll start this one out, or we'll let Nick go for it. I don't know. What do you want, Nick?
That doesn't matter.
All right, I'll go ahead then. I'll be assertive. My boldest prediction...
You sounded assertive while being assertive.
You know what, Louis? I'm just going to go and say my boldest prediction for the second half is that the Chicago Bulls will be worse with Derrick Rose than they were without him.
Wow.
We've talked a lot about the Chicago Bulls already. They're sitting 29-19 right now, tied for the lead in the Central Division of the East. And there's so much great team chemistry that when Derrick Rose comes in, their game plan totally changes. It's Derrick Rose take over. And I don't think their team works best like that. Right now, they're one of the best teams in the league defensively, like we've talked about. And Kirk Heinrich is the main reason why. I think down the stretch, they're going to end up missing some of the big guys that they let go earlier. Obviously, Taj Gibson's still there with Noah, who's hurt right now. But they don't have Omar Asik anymore. And they don't share the balls much when Rose comes back. So I think the team right now is gelling. They're in first place without Rose. I don't think they'll be in first place when Rose comes back. I think they'll drop down to the lower half of the Eastern Conference playoffs rankings when Derrick Rose comes back.
I tell you what, that's definitely a bold prediction. Because do you remember Derrick Rose when he played basketball.
He's pretty good.
The dude is
He just won the MVP
nasty.
2 years ago.
Yeah. I would say that's quite the bold
I think
prediction.
That's more of a – I think that's like – I don't even think bold statement's even the right word for it. It's almost like
are you saying
not
stupid
statement.
Prediction?
Or is that what we were – was that the
– No,
was
I think
– that the undertone on what we were saying?
No, I could have – if you stop more at the – you know, they're going to have a better winning percentage without them, which is over 60, than with them. That could have at least gone, but the fact that they're going to drop
not out of the playoffs.
No, but
they're
going to
lose.
Who's going to jump
them? They can lose
Atlanta?
Like 20 games
no.
in a row right now and still
Milwaukee?
Be in the playoffs. The East is terrible.
No, they're going to. Here, you
East
know who's
going
to jump them right now? Brooklyn's half a game behind them, and Atlanta's a game and a half behind them.
No, Atlanta will not pass them no matter what happens because Atlanta just always has it. They're going to be a top three team, and they're
right.
always six or seven.
You know what, though? That's another surprise, actually. The way Atlanta's played with their best player, Joe Johnson, gone again, stay in the middle of the pack. Now, again, also, I mean, the East, like we said, is terrible.
Al Horford can ball
really well. Gator?
Yeah, that's the one. So who wanted to go second? We were doing a lot of finger pointing around here.
All right, well, I'll go with one. I don't know if, I'm going to go over to the West, just at least a more competitive conference, in my opinion,
yes.
right now. The fact that Dallas started off, average with Dirk, and now Dirk's slowly making his way back. They're currently sitting 5.5 games out of the playoffs, which is so surprising to see. I think they're going to make the push in the second half. So my bold prediction is Dallas will not only make the playoffs, but they'll be a top six team in the playoffs. It's going to be super bold because right now that's a 10-game spread between them.
And you're saying that they're going to jump your surprise, Golden State. They're going to jump Memphis, who has been effective, and then of course then the top three teams.
I mean, I think they can, just because everybody remembers this Dallas Mavericks team is a team that's, holy smokes, not only did they win the finals a couple years back, but this is a team that's pretty much the same makeup with minus one key
Tyson
loss.
Chandler.
Now it's Tyson Chandler. Chandler is
Jason
a big
Terry
reason.
And Jason Kidd.
How about a little J.J. Barrett?
Yeah, this
J.
is not J. the same team.
That's true, good point.
Well, how are we forgetting the little man
JJ.
That D'd up LeBron?
I'm not really. Yeah, Jason Terry's a good role player, but the fact they brought in O.J. Mayo definitely made up for him.
And how about Sean Marion?
Easily.
Sean Marion, again, being a model of consistency, playing well for
Vince
them.
Carter's
they,
been
they,
nice.
Darren Collison, running the point with his steals and an assist, and of course Elton Brand is floating around still in the NBA with the Mavericks. So
nobody knows
they
why.
They have a decent little makeup. I could see a little run from the Mavs.
I think they'll make a run. I think I could see it. They'll make the playoffs. Maybe they won't go as high as 6 seed. Whatever. They'll make a 7 or 8 spot though.
Maybe if Cuban stops doing the Shark Tank and worries about his basketball team, they might.
He's not the problem. He's willing to spend money, and that's what you want out of an owner.
Yeah, no, I agree. The Mavs are.
Well,
they're
one more if I were to throw it out for just for kicks and giggles.
Don't do it. Don't do it. You're gonna do it. Don't. This is a family show.
Oh no. Are you going with? I don't know. Were you gonna talk about Charlotte at all?
I'll stay quiet. You know, actually,
my
bold prediction, because I was sitting here and I have a couple of them, but everyone is on Durant and the Thunder as being the best team. My bold prediction is that the Heat play the LA Clippers in the finals this year. That, and I'm gonna jump off of all the points you made about Chris Paul. Paul will be healthy going in with that team.
Hopefully.
You know, they have depth. And I think for some reason, I don't know. I see like an implosion with Westbrook and Durant down the stretch. I'm not sure why. But I think the Clippers are gonna go to the finals. That's just my bold prediction. It's not as bold as saying the Chicago Bulls are going to be the 14th seed by the end of the year.
No, they're going to be 6 or 7. They're going to drop down a few spots. But wait, so do you think they're going to go into the NBA Finals with the team they have right now, or do you think they're going to add some pieces?
I mean, they could – you know what? I think with the team that
they have payroll to buy.
They can go out and make a move. There's some guys out there they can get, but I think with this team, a 7-game series, I think they have a legit shot of pulling it out. But that's a bold prediction.
They need a compliment for DeAndre Jordan.
But a bold prediction, the way they've played with Chris Paul.
Right.
Without Chris Paul, I don't even think they make the Western Conference Finals.
Right.
But with him, I think they have a shot to beat the Thunder. And actually, because everyone's on the Thunder and
go flying under the radar with the superstar
flying
power
under
that they
the
have.
Radar towards the finals, not so much the landscape.
Right. They're the 3 seed in the West. So it's not an extremely bold pick to pick a 3 seed going to the finals.
Well,
but
you're talking about such a
the
a
franchise
strong
name.
Number one seed, though.
Yes. Right.
Remember that. We're not – it's like saying
the
Knicks or the Nets going to the finals. Okay, they're a 2 or 3 seed. But you're talking about
the distinct difference between the one seed and then the two and the three,
right.
I think it's the same sort of distance with the Thunder, where everyone's saying, this is the year. Durant is the best player. He's MVP.
Right.
The way they've played, Westbrook, the team that they have, Ibaka, all these guys. But I think that they can pull it out.
I'm still
good bench with Jamal Crawford, too, who got snubbed. He should have been the All-Star game.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the Thunder are more vulnerable this year than they were last year because of the lack of James Harden. If Russell Westbrook gets in foul trouble, who's playing point guard?
And that's my point. And then Chris Paul would take over.
Yes.
And if they're going to be buyers, by the way, they need some help in the paint
and
with DeAndre Jordan and
Kevin Durant's being floated around.
Yeah, which if he goes, that'd be a fantastic ad. But you know what? I want to throw out my one joke kind of bold prediction of the show. I don't think the Charlotte Bobcats are going to be the worst team in the NBA at the end of the season.
I think that's going to be the Lakers.
You're so full of it. Do you think Charlotte's getting to 20 wins? They're 11-36. Do they get to 20?
Yes.
Wow.
If Kid Gilchrist
can continue
to play the way that he plays, yes.
The college
player. I
think
they can get 20. Right, the Kentucky player. Calipari. He's still with Calipari. What? Oh, no. That's...
I don't know. He might be playing for the Dominican Republic national team with Calipari. That's the only way he's ever going to see him again.
Is Calipari Dominican, by the way, or is he just kind of like...
I don't even know.
Volunteer for that position?
I think he wanted to play against Anthony Davis.
Yeah, what?
So it's
that was one of the strangest things I heard.
Yeah, probably for some recruiting violence. Yeah, I want to cheat.
I know, Ron Washington is managing the Netherlands in the World Baseball Classic. Like, that would just be the next thing that would really surprise
me. These guys want to... Coach, they love to do it, and they don't mind the money.
Same for Pitino, right.
But
thing
doesn't
too.
He have to be Dominican?
No.
Where did Pitino go? Pitino went to Puerto Rico, but it was one of those teams.
I don't know. I didn't hear about that one. But yeah, no, you don't have to be the country, born in the country. You just, it's a job like any other.
Kinda, drive me nuts.
You just kind of look at the flags, and whichever flag you like the best.
Pretty colors.
That's the team that you, okay. Well,
that's what the wives would do.
I guess that.
Yeah, yeah. Rick Pitino in 2010, he signed with the Puerto Rican national. So I was right. He would coach Puerto Rico until they didn't even make it to the final or like the whatever the final.
Who would play for Puerto Rico? Al Horford, is he Puerto Rican?
I don't know.
He's Dominican, actually. He would be on the Dominican team.
He's playing with Calipari.
Yes. Okay.
See, now I don't understand Calipari as a coach for a national team, because what does Calipari do best?
Recruit.
Okay. Is he going to get like parents to produce babies and recruit them? There's no way that he can recruit.
No, but he could go into the Dominican slums and he will get that kid.
Okay,
like,
easier now, boys.
You know?
Yes, but he's not a talent transformer. He's not going to make this kid amazing. You just got to find him.
That's true. He does recruit.
Calipari, third world country, is looking for the next recruit to play Kentucky basketball.
Imagine the team where like Calipari recruits and Tom Izzo coaches.
Yeah, we were talking about that North Carolina combination.
Yes.
We're talking
Roy Williams recruits Coach K coaches.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's better.
What do you mean, Coach K is like one of the best coaches of all time?
Tobacco Road dominance.
That would be nuts.
All right, I doubt they're ever going to come together, but we're out of time here. So thanks to our guest Louis Vertone. You can catch Sun Devil Sports Night on Facebook at facebook.com/Sun Devil Sports Night. We look forward to seeing you more there. Nick, if there's nothing else you want to say?
I'm good. I'm ready for this week to get rolling. National Sign Day tomorrow, baby.
That's right. Priest Willis says he's not going to sign with UCLA tomorrow. So ASU still has a shot.
There's
we'll
a chance he's coming here to join us at ASU.
That'd
well, that'll
beautiful.
Do it for Full Court Press. For Louis Vertone and Nick Merrick, I'm Josh Franz. Thanks for listening.